Hello, everyone. My name's Austin. I'm a drug addict. Thank you so much to the committee for putting this on and inviting us here to do this. Dave said earlier, you know, for me, the whole thing, all of this is about giving others the opportunity to recover. That's what we do here. You know, when I look here at people in this room and where we've come from, I mean, when we're dazed and we're sat here and the promises that we're given, and we're free from addiction, we're sat here able to do this, enjoy this, put these kind of events on and share all this stuff with each other. That's what I was taught. Get in this and work on that opportunity for others. I walked into Cocaine Anonymous, beaten, broken, defeated, nailed to the floor, couldn't move. Heroin and crack cocaine ran my life. And I got this opportunity. I got another go at doing this. Because I've cleaned up. I've been in the grips. I've come through it. I've done detoxes. I've cleaned up. I've crawled out. I've battled out. And I've started putting my life back together because I thought that's what I had to do, drugs were the problem, start putting things back together. That made sense to me. That made perfect sense to do that. Only for it to happen again. And that broke my heart, absolutely broke my heart. And when I got another opportunity and I came in and I'm shaking, I don't know. You know, all my ideas, you know, about who I was and what I do in this world and where I can go, they're just done. And the most beautiful thing happened in this place that I ended up. I met a man from Cocaine Anonymous. He was the first guy. I met loads of people, not loads, but I met people before who were in recovery, and I'd been in meetings and that. And you know, they were still acting like drug addicts without the drugs. You know, I was into that at the time because I thought, yeah, cool, you know, carry on. He was the first guy I ever met who I couldn't peg as a drug addict who actually was. When he told me his story, it was just like, you're like me. But I wouldn't have known unless he told me that. And you know, it talks about in the book, if anyone knew, you know, we have this blue book. I didn't know about it before I came in here. And we're, you know, quite a few people in this fellowship are really into this book. And that's because it speaks so well to us. I mean, I question myself, how on earth did they get that down in there? How did they do that? Because they're like us. And I got introduced to that. I got introduced to these things. And I got brought to this meeting. Yeah, in that book it says, if you want what we have, then you're ready to take certain steps. Now, it was a thing. There was a guy stood in front of me for the first time. He had what I wanted. Because everything before was what I wanted. It's how I perceived the world, you know. And how I thought it would all work. And that had failed miserably. So he stood in front of me, free from it. And he showed me this book. He introduced me to this book. And I went to my first meeting. And they've all got these, they're sat around on tables. And they've all got one of these blue books. And they're excited. They're lit up. We would say, see, they're on fire. With this. Something's happened and they're telling their stories, and I can't sit there and go, no, they're not like me. You know, they're just like, they're fucking worse than me. You know, but they're free and they've got their, it's something to do with that book, is what I was picking up. And the guy who carried this message to me, he had a sponsor, this guy who guided him, who helped him. And I was learning from them what they do. It was quite tight and it was quite strict I was just so broken. It was just like, whatever, you can show me how to do this. But it was things like, you know, he didn't have a mobile phone and he had to ring his sponsor at a certain time every morning. He had to go to a phone box and it didn't matter if it was pissing down or snowing, he went there. And I'm watching them do this because they're creating the opportunity for others like myself to recover. I'm like, wow, you're demonstrating this stuff. You're doing it. And he introduced me to that same guy. And I'm in Wiltshire, in this little treatment centre, and I'm leaving. And I moved to Cheltenham. You know, I got offered an opportunity there to live in this place. I'd never been to Cheltenham. I didn't have a clue what it was. You know, before any attempts at recovery, I was already thinking ahead and where I'm going to move and what I'm going to do and what I'm going to set up and what I'm going to get into. This time I'm just like, I'm so grateful that they're giving me something, that they're giving me this place to go to. And I go there and I get connected with these guys down in Bristol because we've got No Cocaine Anonymous in Cheltenham. And there are other fellowships and I'm going to them. But I'm a junkie who's got a big book. So even though I can go there and I qualify, this is the fellowship for me. This is what I was introduced to. This is what I was taught. So I went to Bristol every week. And we had a 12-step meeting there. It was a tightly run ship. So I can remember my first group conscience, this bit where we get together and we talk about group business. I didn't have a clue what was going on. I was so intimidated by it. You know, what a wonderful thing. There's a person in this room today who was there at that group conscience, our first group conscience for me. This is in 2005. And we're still here. We're still doing this. There's still people present. You know, I'm watching this going on. It was a little basement. Downstairs, you had to go in. It was like this little clandestine kind of gathering that was going on or something. And it was like rickety chairs. But there would be dead silence in there too. Everyone sat still, were paying attention. They're going through. It was a step meeting. So every week it's steps. And the way I was taught that when I go in there and if we're doing a share, whatever, you know, my sponsor would be encouraging me to study on that, to get into it. Because in my, you know, what was being put forward is that we have this responsibility and I want to learn. This is my path out. This is my way out of this. This is the thing, is like he wasn't demanding that of me. He wasn't ordering me to do that. He was providing a gift. That's how I see it today. Something was put in front of me. There was an offer given to me. There was this gift, this beautiful thing that was put in front of me going, you can have this too, you know. And that's how I see this step 12 stuff today. There's a couple of bits in the big book that are quite direct about it. Nothing so much ensures immunity as working with others. You know, when other activities fail, go and work with others. Our constant thoughts of others. And they sound like instructions. They sound like, you know, you must do this. And I, you know, I've come across a fair amount of that in Cocaine Anonymous, but I didn't understand what was going on. You know, that, again, it's not a demand, it's an offer. And when they wrote these things in the book, this is what I love about this book, is they wrote down what they were seeing. They wrote down what they were observing about what had gone on. I mean, fucking hell, they're a few years sober. Their heads were as scrambled as mine when they came in, and they still had the wherewithal to put that shit down in a book, to remember what they'd seen, and their observations of it all. I mean, you get us lot together now with a few years sober and get us to write this book, it ain't going to come out the same. What happened, man? What a beautiful thing. One of the things I think, really, was like, today we've got amazing things go on. We've got these 12-step fellowships. We've got loads of help, loads of services, which saved my ass, and lots of different ideas. They're probably the only people who ever had an opportunity without the influences of others, as alcoholics, people who suffer from this, to sit down and go, what is it we've got? And they managed it. They got it down, and then that got passed on for us. I love being part of that group. I really did. You know, it was my home group for a while. And I grew. This fellowship, this is, you know, the steps. We've talked about the steps today, but here we've got fellowship. And I was learning that. I was making relationships. I didn't even know that that's what was going on. Forming friendships, growing in this, getting those connections. It's so important because that identification with each other. We've come from the same place. And we're doing similar things today. You know, and I'm on board, I'm on the same page with other people who turn around and, you know, working this step 12 stuff. I remember being in a step 11 meeting, and we're all there, we're all spiritual giants by this stage. We're talking about our meditation, how we do it, how it grounds us for the day. You know, and I've been practicing it for a little while, and I know some stuff now. I've read about other people, and I've sat quietly for a time. I've been doing prayer, I'm going, what's that? You know, trying to work it all out, and we're there, and we're talking about it. And I love being in that kind of meeting where people are sharing their experience around this stuff, and we're on topic. And this cranky old timer comes up to me afterwards. He went, "It's not about being grounded. It's preparation for step 12. And at that moment, it went, boom, for me. It sank in. You know, it is about being grounded. It is about making sure that I'm okay and that I can go out into the world and not create havoc and carnage. But it is, it's like, wow, look at that. That shifted me from still being stuck in myself and how this works for me, but how it works for the next guy. You know, and I thank him for that. He's still cranky. But I love him. I absolutely love him. One of the early things I heard, so went back to that meeting in Swindon. They had this big American speaker in, and he was awesome. His story was just like, okay, now, how did you get out? He tells it so well. He tells this little part of his story about, he gives this analogy, that if you're on top of a if there's a big flood and there's a guy on top of a building and he throws a rope down to you and he pulls you out, and there's more ropes around, and there's other people still stuck in the water. And when you get up, what do you do? Do you walk away, or do you pick up a rope and throw it down for the next guy? And that hit me. This is the kind of stuff I'm hearing in Cocaine Anonymous, coming from this really self-centered person who's been stuck in that, and it hasn't worked out to this new way. What happens here? What happened to me is I got redirected. That step three, you know, that we talk about, made a decision to turn. I got turned. It was talked about earlier, you know, the change in 6 and 7. I got changed. I didn't do that. I took these steps, but I got changed. Something massive went on. Today, when I that story, which really helped me and had such an effect. Again, I don't see it as a demand, because I've worked with guys that they've turned around and done the same stuff, and after a while, they've gone off with their lives, and I could either be there, go, fuck you know what I mean, leaving us, take all this and run off, or what a beautiful thing, they came from the same place I did. They've come in, they've put their lives back together, they've reconstructed their worlds, and other things have come up besides Cocaine Anonymous, and they've taken the opportunities to go off into life and do different things. Awesome. So delighted to be part of that. I don't know why, for me, it's not massively my doing that for me, I'm still a part of this thing. It's actually got a lot to do with the people that I've come into contact. It is the fellowship that has held me here, that, you know, being part of this. One of those guys, so I'm cutting my teeth, getting in this. I'm being encouraged to go and work with others, do this, be part of this fellowship, come to these events, do the service that we do, get on committees, and I'm in a whirlwind, to be quite honest with you, in early days. It's just happening. So I'm being given this opportunity to be part of this. And this guy comes into my world. I'm a few years sober. And yeah, I guess with the big book and the 12 steps, what we have is, I don't think anymore it's just like, you have to do this fast, you have to get through these steps, you must get through these steps, or you're screwed, you've got to do them, here we go, boof, rip through them. It's more of a case of, you can, but I don't know. I absolutely do not know what pace it is that you need to go through or someone else. I don't. What I've got here is this framework. I've got this book that can guide me. I've got my experience and other people I can turn to. And we put it in front of people. But there's this guy, I met him in a meeting. He's just coming down off his Subutex, rattling his balls off. He's just come off of him. He's still in it. He comes to my flat and he stays for a week. And in that week, he goes through it, he writes out this mammoth step 4. And right at the end of it, we do his 5. We sit down for a day, we do all of that, you know, do this stuff. We're like 5-6 days into it. And then I drop him home. He lives in another town, and there's no CA there, there's no one else in recovery that he knows, none of that going on. And it was quite mad, because he's going back into his flat where the last time he was in the grips of addiction. And I opened the door. I can remember giving him a pouch of baccy or something. It was almost like kicked him out of the car. He falls out of the car, and it's just like, it's just you and God, mate. And he did a look on his face. You know, he's just like, fuck. Because this is it. He's got to go and do it now. And just that, because, you know, we've gone through this. There was no one else holding him. There's no one else there. And, you know, and what starts to happen, because he's coming over to the meeting that we're doing, and I just remember, this is like 3 weeks into recovery. 3 weeks after coming out of that, and he goes to a barbecue, he goes to a party, and there's people there, and, you know, it's a summer day. And someone goes to hand him a can of Stella, and he reaches it to open it, because that's what you do. Yeah, and he gets an electric shock in his arm that just whacks it away. And in that moment, this is the stuff we talk, you know, Laura mentioned it earlier, one of the most beautiful things I think that we've got here is in that 10-step stuff, placed in the position of neutrality, that we're protected, we're safe and protected from this. What on earth was that? That was not a conscious thought. He did not go, I mean, it's the only time I've heard that personally, but in that moment, he was about to drink that can, and what would happen next is he would go and take some heroin, and he's back in that cycle, and he's in the grip, and he's going down, and he might not get back out. Instead, he has this automatic reaction without thought or effort on his part, it talks about. And it's done for him. I mean, what on earth is that? I mean, I don't know. I don't hear this going on elsewhere. And I'm just like, he's telling me, and I'm just like, wow. You know, for me, it's just like, wow, this guy has gone through this, and this is what's happening. Amazing. You know, he spent that summer, he was living in Hereford, he's got the River Wye, and he's going down there, and he's jumping in the river every morning as part of his ritual. He's just lit up, he's alive, he's getting on with it. 6 months before, a year before, he's living dark times with curtains closed in a shitty flat, and he's banging up with no one around him. You know, this stuff going on. And he goes to another meeting, a different fellowship, and he sat in there. He's listened to stories. He's listened to people come in. And he hears this guy come in. And This guy's supposed to be going to pick up his child. His child is in care. He's got a meeting. He's got a really important meeting to get care of his child. You know, he knows this is like serious shit. He's been detoxing himself. He's trying to keep it together. He's got to be together. On the way there, he pops into the off license and buys a couple of cans. And because of what we learn in this book and our own experiences, and this stuff's highlighted, the guy I've worked with, he hears this. He knows what's going on with this guy. He knows that that's alcoholism. He knows it's not his fault. He's not a bad parent. This is the shit we do. This is stuff that, they got down this book that it starts to explain to me. It's just like, this is what's going on, man. So he goes and approaches him. And he talks to him. And he brings him to our meeting. He brings him over to the meeting. And he does this lengthy method of detox. And he's lit up. He gets into it. He does this stuff. He's on fire with it. And he gets 4 years. He's doing 4 years of recovery. And he talks about all this stuff. And he knows this big book. And he's doing the things. And I get this call one day, because he's trailed off, people trail off as well, and I get this call, and he says, I've taken a Valium. I haven't heard from him in a little while, and the thing is, I don't know, but this guy, I just hear that, and I know, that's it, you know, and he does, he goes off, the habit forms, he's alcoholic, he's gone, he's doing all the things that we do, and his dad reached out to me at one stage. You know, he's like, what can we do? What can we help? Can we get back in? And in my head, there's this thought going, tell his dad to put him in treatment. Do that. Separate him. Get him some help. Get him out of this. And I didn't say it. And then because of what we are, you know, and the things that go on, you know, it wasn't long after that I get a call saying he's gone. And from that, I learned, you know, the mistakes that I make. One of the things that I have to do when I get into this 12-step program, because what we're dealing with Am I open as a sponsor? Because my biggest problem as a sponsor is that self-seeking stuff. I want to get this right. I want to do my step 12 right. I want you to like me. I want the people I work with to like me. I don't want to open myself up to that vulnerability of being prepared to go out there and make mistakes within this stuff. But I learn from them. So I did what I didn't do, was just go, I'm useless, you know, fucking hell, that's as heavy as it gets. I need to leave, I need to step away, because I could have done something. There was a thought that I didn't do it. I just got to take that on board and get up and get going and do it again. And I've had many more experiences since then, and another one like that. You know, and to be part of this, to be in this with people. The recovery that's happened for me and the stuff we've talked about, because, you know, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, step 12, we tried to carry this message. I did not create my recovery. It's not my doing. It's not a thing that I made happen. I did the steps. Recovery happened to me. And that recovery for me is that transformation that's gone on within, and that being redirected, and that defense. For me, this is about that defense. The one thing I could not do was protect myself from picking up crack cocaine again. I don't know about you lot, but that was it. That was the nub of it from me. It talks about it in the book. Just couldn't do that. No matter which way I tried, wherever I went, whatever I did, it would happen again. And for me, that's room. And to this day, since being in recovery, when the thought comes that it'd be nice to have a little pipe, so that'll take, you know, I was going to say it'd take the edge off. It definitely won't do that. It'll change shit, that's for sure. No. It's there. Best way I can describe that is in recovery, there's a steel wall in my mind between me and a crack pipe. How on earth did that happen? I didn't do it. So I've just been through the work with someone. Known him for years. He's in and out, lost contact, and he gets back in contact a little bit. And I need my approach to him, because I know him a little bit, it's just very gentle. I don't make any assumptions. This guy knows loads as well, because he's been around us, he's been doing this stuff. So he goes through, we work at the pace. It's not my step three, it's his. And we go through 5 months in. This is recent. This is a guy I used for 35 years, in and out of prisons, all the usual shit. And he's talking, he's going, I think I'm recovered. I'm like, whoa, this is what I want to hear. I asked him, how far away are you from crack and heroin now? And he started to well up. He went, this is the furthest I've ever been. And that right there, because I knew, he's just like, that's it. That's the kit, that's the stuff. He's now got this opportunity to move into recovery. He's doing the things that are in the big book, the guidance that's there. He's part of this fellowship. He's growing in it, he's making his connections, he's making friends. He's joining us. Join us in the fellowship of the Spirit. What a lovely, lovely thing. It really boils down to this for me. Don't be a dick. Go and see if there's someone else who needs a hand. I'll leave it there. Thank you.